Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you've got a praise report, if you've got a prayer request, you can contact us at Merritt Assembly, MERRITTASSEMBLY, at hotmail.com. There is also a link where you can contact us at our website, which is merrittassembly.com. Or you can call us and leave us a message. Our answering machine message is 1 minute long. Okay, so if you're leaving a message, get to the point and make sure you say what you want to say, because if not, it'll cut you off. You can call back and say, okay, this is take two. But our phone number is 321-454-4263. We love to hear about praise reports. In fact, we had a lady that testified here in church a couple of weeks ago that all of a sudden her vision had been healed. She had been wearing glasses for several decades, and her vision, she no longer needs glasses. And that's an amazing testimony. And so if you've got something that you'd like to share, you can call us at 321-454-4263. Let us know about that, and we will rejoice in the Lord with you. Do want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work that you need to have done, give them a call. They can come out and get you fixed up and give you a quote. And they have been talking about, you know, there was so many jobs that were going on that there were shortages of materials because there was so much work. Now there are some shortages of materials simply because of the supply chain. A number of different people and contractors that I know have run into supply chain issues. And so I want to encourage you, do what I do, and that is call. If you're needing to deal with a contractor, call them well in advance. I called in January of this year to a contractor to order something, and he said, well, you know, we're looking, you know, a few months down the road before we'll be able to get that stuff. And I said, well, that's about the time frame that I'm looking for. You know, a lot of times people want to think that they can get it done yesterday. And sometimes you can get that sort of rapid response. But if you've got a concrete job that you need done here in the near future, trust the folks with Jits Concrete and their decades of great experience, their hard work ethic, and their expertise to get your job done right the first time, and you will be glad that you did. This coming Sunday is Mother's Day. If your mother is still in the land of the living, I pray that you will plan on honoring her in a spectacular fashion. I wish that my mother were still here, that I could honor her. We always tried to do a FaceTime meeting, and sometimes we got to share Mother's Day and my birthday together. That doesn't happen anymore. And so however you choose, we would love to have you come and be a part of our service, where we will be honoring the ladies, the moms, the wives, the ladies, the spiritual mothers, the daughters that will one day be mothers. We want to honor them in the word of the Lord. So That will be taking place Sunday morning at 10:30 at Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We're going back to Psalm 37 today. Psalm 37, where in verse number 1, David writes, "A Psalm of David, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Here's where we left off yesterday. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." So yesterday we were going through verse number 5 and we got to "commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him." The part we didn't get to yesterday was the ultimate fulfillment. And it says, "and he shall bring it to pass." The "it" is the your way. The "it" is the desires of your heart. He shall bring it to pass. He has ordered your steps. He directs your path. He's going to bring it to pass. So David was anointed as king while Saul was still king. When David was anointed king, not only was Saul king, but Jonathan was still alive. It seemed like the most improbable anointing as king that you could have. There was no way that looked like it could happen. In fact, it was so out of the realm of the possibility that David's own father, Jesse, didn't even invite him to his own coronation. He considered his other sons as being royal material, but he didn't consider David to be royal material. Samuel said, "Are these all your sons? Because God hadn't chosen any of these." And he said, "Well, there's one more. He's out taking care of the sheep." And Samuel said, "Get him. We will not rest until, he comes." And when Samuel saw him, God said, "Anoint him. He is the one." But it looked like his path was an irrational path. It didn't seem like there was much of a way that it was going to come to pass. So I have a verse that God spoke into my life in 1991 and 1992. It is in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says in verse number 10, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And as I was meditating on that verse, I was a youth pastor at a church in the area, and God started dealing with me, and he said, I'm going to position you as pastor of a church." And the Bible version that promise came through was worded this way: "And the God of all glory will himself come and pick you up and place you where he wants you. And after you have been established, cause you to prosper, or after you have suffered a little while, he will cause you to be established to prosper and to prosper." That was the promise. And, you know, God is never wrong, by the way. So just in case you thought that I had always had this relationship with God 100% dead on and I never made mistakes and all, you would be mistaken. And so our conversations went something like this: "God, I love that promise, and that is a confirmation of the reality that you called me to be a pastor when I was under 9 years of age. I thank you for that, but you've got to understand that's not the way pastors are installed in churches in the Assemblies of God. The way that pastors in Assembly of God churches are selected is there's a need for a pastor. There are resumes that are sent in. The pulpit committee will look at resumes. They will invite people in, have them preach, and then the congregation votes on them. And so I explained that. I explained the process to God. That's the process. And God's response was this: and the God of all glory will himself come and pick you up and after you have and place you where he wants you, and after you have suffered a little while, will establish and prosper you. And it's like, okay. And one day in November 1992, I went to prayer meeting, and I was told that the district wants to talk to you. Now sometimes that can be bad, but I hadn't done anything wrong. And so I called the district, and they said, we want you to go and pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We don't know if the doors are open. We don't know if the power's on. We don't know if there's anybody in the church, but we want you to go and pastor it. And I was getting ready to say, well, let me pray about it. And right before I said those words, the Spirit of God said, I've been telling you for a year this was coming. You don't have to pray about it because I've already told you that it was coming to pass. When you commit your way to the Lord, when you commit your life to the Lord, you trust him in it. If you are going to trust him for your eternity, you need to start trusting him right now. Okay? If you're going to trust him that there's going to be no more sickness, no more death, you know, no more need of mortgage payments or any of that sort of stuff, that he's preparing a place for you, then you need to start trusting him now with the things that you can see, because you've already declared that you have faith to trust him in the future for things that you can't see. The promise is this: he shall bring it to pass your way. The desires that he's placed in your heart, he will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. You see, when you commit your way to God, when you trust him and he begins to move in your life, there are going to be those people who were your doubters. There are going to be people who do not believe that God is going to be able to bring the promise that he has birthed in your heart. They don't believe that he's going to be able to bring it to pass, but he's going to bring it to pass. And in so doing, he is also going to cause everybody to see that you are in right standing with God. I've got a note that I want to share later on in this passage that I believe is going to be an impactful statement to the body of Christ. So I want you to continue to stick with me here. You can start reading Psalm 37. It's a great psalm. But not only will he bring your righteousness forth, not only will he bring your way to pass, but he is going to bring your justice as the noonday. David was one of the people that used to cry out, vindicate me, O God. In fact, if you turn over just a few passages, a few pages to the right, you will find it in Psalm 42 and 43. Psalm 42 ends, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, this is Psalm 43, verse 1, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation, or deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your truth, or your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. God wants you vindicated. God wants you to be treated in a just manner. And if no one else will treat you in a just manner, God will treat you in a just manner. Okay? 100% merciful, 100% just. He's able to do that because of the work that Jesus did on your behalf and on my behalf. And so justice is not something, the justice of God is not something that is done in secret. Okay? He says, you're going to get your verdict. You are going to get vindication. So the path to vindication, it begins with this mindset. Okay? So if we want godly justice, we do not begin the journey thinking that our carnal perspective is the right perspective. And so in Psalm 43, where verse number one, where it says, vindicate me, I worked on that word, and it said, God, you judge me. There were a lot of different meanings there. God, you judge me. You know what this world, their philosophy is right now? Don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? I was listening to something here not too long ago, and they used a common expression, and it says, well, I'll be the judge of that. Well, who appointed you the judge of that? Okay? I just want to know. I'm not saying you're not qualified. I just want to know who's the one that made you the judge. You know, so the world tells us that judge not lest you be judged. That's not saying that there is not judgment. It's saying, in fact, I preached this on Palm Sunday. I preached a message titled Order in the Court, in the various courts that Jesus appeared in, and each court was operating by a different standard. There was something that they were looking for. And, you know, if they didn't get what they wanted, then they condemned Jesus. And so we don't judge by our carnal reasoning. We judge by the word of God. So I will tell people this. If you have a problem with this particular saying, whatever it might be, you don't have a problem with me. You've got a problem with the word of God and the God who said it. Okay? So that's an entirely different standard. And so now the world's mindset is, well, since the Bible is judging things that we want to be socially acceptable as sinful, we need to change the word of God. Well, you know, now you're sitting in judgment on the word of God. And if you're going to sit in judgment on the word of God, then you've got to have a higher authority, because you're going to end up with a lower authority, because there's not a higher authority. And many of the things that you think you want to get rid of, you actually need. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty glad that God said, do not murder. Gives me a great deal more security in life. Not perfect security, but a great deal more security. Thou shalt not steal. You know, that's pretty clear. You know, and yet the world gets things more and more confused, and they think they're making the world a better place. They're actually just getting further away from the form that God wants it to be. So David, when he cried out, vindicate me, he said, God, you judge me. And God, if there's something in my life that is out of order, then God, you correct me. Correct me. See, justice is sometimes hearing, okay, here's what you're going to do to make this right. David experienced that. Saul had done some horrible things to the Gibeonites, and David was given the assignment as the next king. He said, this is what you got to do. You got to find out what does justice look like to them. And when they said that, then David was responsible for bringing about that justice, even though it was extremely unpleasant. There was another time where David sinned against God, and a devastating plague broke out against the children of Israel, and David had to begin to intercede and said, "These people didn't sin. It was me. Bring the correction in my life." There's a lot of people that want to apologize for behavior, but they don't want to change their behavior. God, when bringing about our justice, he not only brings back a guilty, there's a word that's very biblical, and that's talking about if a person is caught as a thief, they have to make restitution. I heard a preacher say that if you were a false witness against someone, you bore the sentence that you were trying. So if you were testifying against somebody falsely, intentionally falsely, and they were going to die as a result of that, and then it was found out that you were lying, you experienced that sentence instead of them. Okay, God, govern me, correct me, avenge me. God, intervene in this situation. If someone has done wrong against me, God, I don't want to have to deal with that myself. God, you get the revenge. And I've told you before that revenge is not something we're looking for. Okay, the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray for people who have treated us unjustly, that God will give them the gift of repentance so that they can also walk in newness of life. Okay? And then one other aspect. Oh, there was not only the correction, but God, you govern me. I overlooked that one. God, you govern me. Okay? I don't want to make this mistake over again. I don't know about you, but a lot of people that I've interacted with, it's not that they fall for a whole bunch of different sins. They just tend to fall for the same one over and over and over again. And so at some point in time, we need to pray and ask God, "God, what is it that you need to do in my life so that I live victorious over this temptation instead of in constant defeat by this temptation?" God's got a process. God's got a way. He will govern you. And the last aspect, so there was, God, you judge me, you correct me, you govern me, God, get vengeance, and then there was one other one, and it was avenge. And so I had a lady in my church, and she had gone on to be an English teacher, and so she had moved across the state to another area, and I said, "Okay, so what's the difference for revenge and avenge?" And this was long before the Avengers movies came out. Not before the Avengers. I mean, those go way, way back before my time even. But before the modern Marvel universe that Hollywood created for, the past several years. And she didn't really have much of an answer. And I read dictionaries and things like that. And it finally, the distinction that I came to in my mind was revenge is something where someone has done something to us that they shouldn't have done. They treated us in an unjust manner. And, you know, we talked about that. God says, vengeance is mine, says Lord, I will repay. Avenge has to do with the fact that it's not an act that they've done. They were just putting the plans into place. And before they were successful, God stepped in and avenged you by intervening and preventing those horrific plans from taking place. I have this mindset that it's a miracle that any of us survive childhood. I don't know about you, but almost every child that I grew up with at some point in time had an incident in their life, and it could have taken them out. And I think that when we get to heaven, that the eternal perspective is going to be, wow, God, you intervened and you avenged us a great deal more than what we ever thought possible. So I'm gonna close today's broadcast with a cute story. This literally did happen. So we were traveling to see my grandson play T-ball, and we pulled into the parking lot of the Little League at about 30 seconds after my son had pulled in, and then my daughter-in-law had pulled in. And so my son and grandson were headed off, and about that time the granddaughter was getting out of the vehicle. And so she came running over to my wife, and they started walking, and all of a sudden the granddaughter looks up and sees a car that is positioned that is going to be coming towards them. Car is a long ways away, not moving. But the granddaughter looked up and she saw that car, and she ran over into my wife's arms. And you know, my wife picked her up, and about that time my granddaughter said, "Whew, that was close." I am so thankful today that we have a faithful God who is there and is waiting for us to run into his arms. Don't wait until it is too close. Wait, I encourage you, run into his arms now. He's a God of justice, and he loves you even more than your mama. I pray you have a great weekend. We'll see you back Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." We'll be right back.